chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May God bless the reading of his word. Come on up, Elder Jess.
Just give me 1 minute, maybe 10 seconds. Well, I tell you what, church, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I know I always say that, but I tell you what, after listening to those songs and the scripture that was just read, permeated with the subjects of the text this morning, this thing called joy, God's joy, I was sitting there saying to myself, what can I add to it? What can I add to it? But Pastor Stan, he called me a couple weeks ago or texted me and said, "Jess, we'll be out of town. How would you like to preach on this particular day?" And obviously it's the candle of joy, or sometimes it's called the shepherd's candle here in Advent. And I said, sure. So I began to prepare. Before I do that, I want to make sure of something, because you see there's a big debate. A debate still going on. Is there a difference between joy and happiness? Or are they synonyms? Now, Webster's Dictionary. It's a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. That sounds pretty good. Now you look at the Hebrew, rejoice, exultation of rejoicing. And in the Hebrew, there's several words that mention rejoicing or joy, but most of theirs was geared toward the rejoicing part. You know, they're rejoicing because they're so joyful. And then we come to the Greek, and the Greek is a feeling of inner gladness, delight, or rejoicing. Now, I know you can expand these definitions, but the definition I'm going with this morning, and you know which one it is, it's going to be the Greek, a feeling of inner gladness, delight, or rejoicing, and that is, God is the only one that can give it to you. You're not going to find it out there in the world. You may find your, I'll be getting into this in just a few moments, but you may find your happiness times, which we all have found. So, okay, I said, sure, Pastor, I'll do it. So then, as it is, I start collecting my thoughts. I start thinking about the joy of the Lord, the joy candle, the joy that only God can give. And I don't know why this little song came to my mind. We've had beautiful songs. Like I said, we've already heard the message. We've heard a message right there Everything that you should give joy to God for, that joy from your heart, was right up here on the screen and in the scriptures that our brother read. But Lord, I was telling Danny the other day and a couple other people, you know, the moment I started thinking about joy, a Sunday school song came into mind. I haven't heard it in years. And I said, it's really odd. And all of a sudden, Danny had already just said that too. And but just before I did, so we were kind of like in an agreement. And I remember years ago, and most of you probably know this song. Some of you have probably sang it, and your children have. But I know years ago, or I better say it because my wife's here, some time ago, maybe not years ago. Well, all six of our kids, just like a staircase, we'd pack into our station wagon, and we'd go off to church. We would have what they call pre-Sunday school. Pre-Sunday school would spend 15, 20 minutes just letting us singing Sunday school type of songs and so forth, or celebrating somebody's birthday, but you know, just singing happy birthday to them. Then we'd be sent off into our Sunday school classes. I'm not going to sing this song, and it's only one verse because you can add many verses to it. And I'm sure most of you are going to remember it. It could probably sing it right along with me, but I'm not singing. Here it is. No. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. And I call that a Sunday school song. But you know what? It was kind of joyful back in those days when we saw all the kids up front coming together. Watch them right here in New Life. You get some of these youngsters together and they sing. And you know, it may be true they may not understand everything at that age of what they're singing about, but boy, they're putting everything into it. And it's a joyful experience. So when I was thinking about this message of joy, then I think my God put that into my mind. Why would God put that in there? A simple song like that. I think God was telling me, Jess, why don't you take an inventory. Why don't you, where is that joy? Do you have that joy, 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 joy down in your heart? And I've been pondering that. I know I had the joy, joy, joy down in my heart, but I think that's why God did it. And that's what sometimes, as we sing these songs this morning, I tell you what, I believe this sanctuary was bursting with joy. Whether you want to call it happiness, joy, gladness, but I tell you what, we were enjoying this. We were giving God the praise and the glory, all the songs, all about praising God and giving Him joy from the joy that's within us and rejoicing in Him. And that's, I tell you, and that's why I said, what more can I say? But I will continue on. Amen. Just pray for me. The joy we speak of is not the joy that you experience in the flesh. And I would just like to say at this time, here you go. You know, though, speaking of that, you know those moments of happiness that exhilarate you, it gives you that feeling of being very happy, animated, or even elated. Every one of us have had these experiences. It's called happiness. Happiness is an external thing. It comes and it goes very quickly. It can come and it can go very quickly. And I can guarantee you, I can guarantee you that as we walk through the years of our life on the face of this earth, we're going to find out that most of our life, we're going to say, the happiness days, they were so far few in between, but it's those other days that may not be so happy that have you exhilarated and exciting and all that. We'll get into that a little later. But just keep that in mind. Happiness is the event of the moment, the circumstance of the moment. Just last Sunday afternoon, my wife and I, we went up to celebrate the 14th birthday of one of our granddaughters to a park, and I was sitting there, and children were all there, minus one. Two of my kids weren't there. But all the grandkids were there. And so I was watching this whole thing. watching these grandkids, watching the 14-year-old, she opened her presents, listening to the talk of the other grandkids, and watching how they want to just associate with each other. And you know what? That was a very happy moment. I could even say it was kind of like a joyful moment for me, but that was a happy moment. But guess what? At the end of the day, pack the cars up and head home. And you start driving away from that happy moment. Now, you might remember that day, but when you were there, when it was presently happening to you, that was the happiness of it, or I'm going to say the happiness. This is what the world lives in. And this is what, hey, God gave us our emotions. That's why he gave us the ability to have happiness, these moments, these wonderful moments. I like what Pastor Rick Warren shared. He gave an example of happiness. And he was, the difference between happiness and joy. And I think this thing's fixing to fall off me. No, it's not. It's just me. He said, my wife and I, we used to just love to go to Disney World, the happiest place on earth. He said, well, we would go, then our kids came, we'd grab our kids and we'd go off with them and spend time at the happiest place on earth. Then the grandkids come along, and then, of course, we had an extended family. Everybody would pack up. We'd all head off to Disney World. We'd walk through that gate, and for all day long, tired legs or not, all day long, you were excited when you walked through that gate. You watched the joy of your grandkids running around laughing. You watch other people's children run, and then you saw people fascinated, including yourself, at all the different things that you went to, the attractions that you went to. And he says, oh, it was a great time, always a great time. It was a glad time. He says, but then we all came out, got in our cars in the parking lot. He says, I know, I sat down in the driver's seat. Boy, this has been a long day. I got a long way to go. Why in the world did I spend all of that money? See, he had a great day while this circumstance was happening. Oh, everything just seemed like hunky-dory. You know, everything's just going fine. But now he was driving away from that moment. And yes, he might remember back on that day, but it will not be the same as if he were there. But this joy that we're talking about this morning is the joy that we've been singing about and rejoicing about. It's the joy of the Lord that's deep down in our souls, because that is where our joy and that is where our happiness comes from. We're rejoicing in the Lord. I got that joy, joy, joy down in my heart to stay. Oh, you know, it's just like another song. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. I say, Lord, just keep that oil burning. Keep the joy coming. Let it be down in here. You know, I don't want to depend on what happens out there in the world. If your happiness is based on what's going on in the world, you know what? You're going to be a miserable person. You're not going to even be joyful in life because you're so agitated, you're irritated. You're upset because it's just not right, because it's not going your way. Now, you can have happiness. Obviously, everyone appreciates that fact. But if you're depending upon your life, especially as Christians now, that's what I'm talking about, especially as children of God, we can't depend on what's out there in the world. When we look at everything that's going on, we got to have joy in our hearts, because you know why? You know why God put that joy there? He put it there because the joy of the Lord is our strength. That means we're right here. The joy of the Lord is right here between these two binders right here. His promises are in here. His love is in here. Everything we need to know about God is right here. And I want to tell you right now, I believe I'm trusting in the God who is my strength during those times when I have no control of what's going over or what's going on. I have no control over it. Many of us are going through circumstances right now where we have no control over it. But the joy of the Lord is going to bring us through it because we have His word. We're standing on His promises. Everything. I have a God that does not lie. I have a God that will not leave us nor forsake us. And so do you. The God of the Bible. He's going to bring joy to our heart. But we have to release that. We have to believe. Because if we do not believe in God, first of all, and if we do not believe God, there's no joy there. There's no joy there. So when I look at all the frustrations going on around about us, this is what I depend on. You know, I depend on this right here. God's going to bring me through it. He's going to bring the rest of us who believe in the joy of the Lord. The joy we speak of this morning is an inner joy that only God can give. And He does give it to those who obviously believe in Him. For we do take His word. For we do faithfully, as He is so faithful, for we can faithfully trust in the Almighty God. He is not going to let us down. Okay. Oh, actually, my new glasses are working out pretty good. If I could just get everything here in order. A couple weeks ago, I couldn't hardly read anything down here, but hey, this is looking good here. Now, if I can just keep it all in order. So, have I been letting it sit there, just going back to myself? Okay, Lord, have I just been letting it sit there idle and looking at the happiness and joy of that the world gives? No, the joy of Jesus, it's a deep-rooted, inspired happiness. It is a deep-rooted joy, but our joy of the Lord brings such happiness within. Happiness is to know the Savior. You know, we got all kinds of songs about happiness. So anyway, we're going to be looking to that, and I will be getting to some, and further as I move along here, biblical joy offers a unique perspective. We do not have joy and hope because everything is great all the time, but because we have ultimate trust in God's love and promises. That's what I just shared with you. The joy of God's people is not based on our current circumstances, but on our, and I'll get into this just a little later, on our ultimate destiny. Let's go back in time now. We're talking about the birth of Jesus. There was approximately 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We call that the years of silence. What? The prophets seemed to be prophesying no more in the Old Testament. Oh, there was life on earth. People were doing what? They were going to their synagogues. They were going to their temples. They were doing whatever they were doing. But yes, there was life on earth. But it seemed as if the prophets had gone silent for 400 years. You know, sometimes if we ask someone a question or we're waiting for a response and they just stare at you, give it a couple minutes. You start getting aggravated. Well, 400 years they did not hear. But as we look at this scripture this morning, and I love it when I see how God takes the lowliest of the low. And God speaks to them instead of reaching out to the highest of the high on earth. But here on this evening, the shepherds right outside of Bethlehem, many commentators will tell you or say, this is their opinion, say the flock that they were watching was probably the sacrificial lambs, the sacrificial sheep. So they would be nearby to Bethlehem. Oh, but here they were listening to all this bleeding. And you know, people look down upon shepherds. We have a shepherd we would never look down upon. We understand that. But people looking at the shepherds of that day, and I don't know what it's like for the shepherds of today, but here on earth, they were looked down upon. You know, they were smelly. They couldn't be too religious because they probably didn't have time to go to the temple or the synagogue or to hear what was being prepared and preached to them or taught to them. So here they were, the sheep. And prior to that, I need to bring this up to date a little bit. Let me go back up a little bit. But prior to this, an angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and to Joseph. An angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah and Elizabeth. And we know the story there, preparing Mary to bear God's only son. Talking to Joseph. Hey, Joseph, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about, Joseph. Talking to Zechariah and talking about giving them a son. And he's going to prepare you the way of the Lord. And they, you know, the story. So preparation was being given. And then on this evening, outside of Bethlehem, a great angel appeared. And it lit up all around him. And they were singing praises to the Lord. And guess what? I love this because the pastor talked about this a couple of weeks or last week. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Do not tremble. And then they continue with their story. See, God had his old covenant. He has his new covenant. God has perfect timing. He went from the old to the new. And boy, when he came to the new, he brought so much more with him because they were prophesying about what was going to happen. Then there was 400 years of silence. And then the angels broke forth, praising the Lord. When God sent his son to be born on the earth that night, when God's son was delivered that night, everything in this word, it's always been true, but all we know about joy, all we know about strength, everything that God has for us came in the way of the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there were those who would come and they would offer their all this other stuff to the Lord Jesus Christ, the babe in the manger. But the greatest gift of all was right there, that babe, Jesus Christ, who was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, or who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But see, God, he brought something else. And that's the text of our message this morning. He brought joy. Wait a minute. He brought joy. You know, wait a minute. He brought great joy, greater than anyone had ever seen back in that Old Testament. He brought a new joy, a great joy, because this joy is going to be out there to all peoples. And he's going to tell them about the God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah being born. And all those who would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this great joy would be given to them. But the God gave the world the greatest joy possible. And we know in the world there are some, such as we once were, we rejected Jesus Christ, but God brought us to our knees and he saved us. But there was great joy there. Man, I tell you, when we start thinking about how great God's joy is compared to what's out there, those moments that kind of fleet away? No, the joy of God should be down deep inside of our hearts. Down deep inside of our hearts. Glory of God in the highest, in heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. They had a, here they were. The angels came, and then the skies literally woke up with thousands upon thousands of heavenlies, praising God and worshiping God, singing and rejoicing. And these men went off to find the Savior in the manger. And they were rejoicing. I mean, but I just thinking to the lowly of the lows, why not to someone else? And we see this over and over again. But you see the great moments of joy that God has placed upon us, the joy that is powerful. I don't know if I'm expressing this right. How in the world, I don't even have the words really up here to express the joy I'm trying to express. It's something that lives deep down within us. We know it. We experience it. Jody, if I could have slide number one. Repentance brings joy. In Luke 15, 7, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner's repentance than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. You see, the 99 have already repented. They're righteous. Oh, but so wait, there's 99, but look over there. There's a sinner that needs repentance. Oh, he must come. He must bring him to Jesus, bring him to God. God wishes that no one, desires that no one should perish. God wants his family to be huge, which it is, but he would desire to have everyone come to him. But look at that sinner over there, and you know, one day, through my journey of this life to this point, that one sinner standing over there was me. Was me. And God brought me to my knees, brought me to repentance. And I tell you what, that moment happened when I come up off of my knees. I was trembling and shaking because of what God had told me earlier that day. I was trembling and shaking, but when I came up off of my knees, it was all joy. I am not ashamed to cry about Jesus. I am not ashamed to be emotional about Jesus. Sometimes I cry thinking about Jesus. And even the song, The Amazing Grace, gets to my heart and wants to make me start weeping, but I'm weeping in joy. Now, just as it is in my life, one day, through your life's journey, look at that sinner over there. We've got these. They need no repentance. But look at that sinner over there. Now you put your name in it because that was you. But what happens when one sinner repents? What happens? There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner repentance than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. I just can't fathom this because I'm sure as I speak right now that somewhere on the face of this earth, there's got to be at least one person receiving Jesus Christ. And I'm sure there's more than that. And I said, well, wow, heaven is a happening place. The rejoicing up there simply because Jesus has brought another sinner to the Father. He's asking for forgiveness, Father. Yes. And God brings him into his kingdom, into his family. Some years ago, I had a prison ministry, myself and another brother. We used to actually go out what they call the chain gang. And that's something they don't want you to use anymore. That's neither here nor there, or the road prison. And that's out by the fairgrounds. And it was interesting. They had a little church there, and the inmates were free to come. And we did what we could for the hour or so that we were there to let every one of those inmates get up and speak their testimony, read scripture, or whatever it was. And sometimes they actually got up and preached for us. Hey, that's all right. It's all about them out there, you know. I never will forget this one dear brother. He says, all I can tell you, he was excited too. He must have been a bad dude. But he was excited. He said, I can just picture it right now. All I can tell you is this. When God forgave me of my sins, when I repented of my sins, the angels in heaven were doing backflips. They were so happy. Joy, heaven is a joyful place, let me tell you. Whew, joyful is heaven's a joyful place. And that's the joy that's within us when we recognize all of this. The joy of the Lord reaching down deep into our hearts and giving us that joy. Next slide, please. Joy is a gift of God. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Oh, did you catch that first word? It's before joy. Oh, because love is priority. If you ain't loving, you ain't going to be joying. I don't know if that makes sense. You got to have the love of God down in your heart so that you can be joyful around people, that you can be that which God wants you to be. So love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. You love your neighbor as yourself. So we got to get the love right. I mean, God put it in order. But that second one, in the second one was the joy. And it comes, then you can continue on. Peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. The second one is joy. So it is a gift or a fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift of God, but we call it the fruit of the Spirit. This is what should be in a Christian's life. All of these things. But there should be something about us, a joy. We hopefully would be able to express love, but that joy should be something that people could look at you and say, understand, why does that people seem, whatever they're going through, how can they go through it like that? Whatever they have, I want. And it's called that joy that's deeply rooted deep down in our hearts and souls. God's going to see us through. But so God, it is a gift from God. When God gave us the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of the fruit of the Spirit, it was ready to go. Here it was. It's all being delivered. So Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Love and joy. Next slide. Joy exists. Joy results from knowing Jesus. That's it. Yep. 1 Peter 1:18. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Though you have not seen him, though you have not seen him, you twice. But you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Well, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you right up front. I have met Jesus, obviously. But I've never laid an eye upon Jesus. I've never seen Jesus. I've never seen his face yet. I've never seen Jesus. But I can tell you one thing. Even though I have not seen Jesus, I love him. I'm waiting to see the face of Jesus. I don't know what Jesus looks like in his glory, as he is in heaven, back in glory. Oh, we have descriptions, and you know, you go through the Bible, you see all these descriptions. I don't know what he looks like, but I know the moment I lay my eyes upon the Lord Jesus, it's going to be, you talking about joy? Ooh, it's going to be a joyful time. I love him because I know that he first loved me, that while I was yet dead in trespasses and sins, he loved me enough to draw me, to bring me to the Father. Father, look, I just brought him. He's repenting. He's believing in the blood of the cross, Father. Same thing with you. You've never seen him, but yet you know that you love him and you believe in him and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. That's what I said a moment ago. I don't even know how to express it. Sometimes you can get overwhelmed just thinking about when you're alone and you come to God and there's no interference, nothing from the outside. You might be home alone, wherever you might be. And then you just start praising and worshiping Jesus. And then you just feel his presence. You know he's there because he dwells within you. That joy begins to bubble up. And you can get all excited. But you don't know how to express it. I don't know how to really express it to you. What proper words to use. But I think you're getting the point. It's inexpressible. Man, the moments we have like that. The moments that we have like that. Next slide. Joy is rejoicing in truth. Oh, trials. Aha. Maybe my glasses are failing me, even back there. Okay. But I'm joyful. I'm joyful. I'm glad that I got new glasses because I can actually stand back there and read the songs in the morning, except I can't read that fine red print. But all the other one, last week I noticed it. I said, whoa, I don't have to keep going right. You're trying to get it. Joy is rejoicing in trials. Now, do I really want to hear this? Some of us might say, do I really want to hear this? God, what are you asking me to do when I hurt? God, what are you asking me to do when I'm in pain? God, what are you asking me to do when I'm saying goodbye to my loved one? God, what are you asking me to do when I've lost my job? God, and the list goes on and on. And friends, that's what I mean. As we walk through this earth, we're going to see more of that than we will that external happiness. And that's why the joy of God is so needed deep down within our souls. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith is steadfast. So God says, it's the testing of your faith. God, why don't you just stop it? Why don't you put me back in a joyful place? Put me back in a happy place. I don't want to go through these things. I can't deal with them. But God says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. He's testing your faith. And what that means, once again, if you put your faith in Almighty God, your heart may be aching, it may be breaking. Your bones might be hurting. You might be saying goodbye. Or you might be saying goodbye to someone else as you leave. Whatever it might be, you know exactly what all the things of life, the things that can come against us, all those circumstances, they're there. And the reason he's saying that it's a test of our faith is because, as I've already stated earlier, it's right here in this book. Some people may say, well, that's impossible. You can't be joyful when you're suffering. How do I answer that? I only have to say what God says. He said, count it all joy, which means it is possible. It sounds like a big challenge to us because we're here. We're going through it. Count it all joy. But we trust in God. We trust in His Word. We joy is here down deep in our hearts to see us through the hard knocks or the hard things of life. Happiness, my friend, those moments that you have with happiness, they are not 24/7, 365 years a day and all the years you walk, because you know happiness comes and goes. But God said, when you become my child and I put that joy deep down in your heart, it's going to stay there. It's internal. It's eternal. It's going to stay there. And we put our joy into who God is. He's going to help us through those hard times. And we really need to pray about that, because so many times we can struggle with that. But I have to believe my God. He says, rejoice in this. Rejoice in it. Next slide. Joy comes from the living Word. I said the living Word. This is the written Word. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. All right, Jesus just gave us an example of what I was just talking about. Jesus, out of love and obedience to the Father, he laid aside his royal robes and his crown. He left heaven. And that baby, Jesus knew everything about this. That babe in the manger grew in stature. It was known soon that he was something different about him. People begin to recognize there's something about him. Even when he was 12 years old, he could fluster the other guys in there who's been around for years studying the word that they had at the time. But you see, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus knew that he was going to have to face the cross. He knew he was going to have to face the pain. He knew all of that. And he was here in the flesh. You can't tell me because he was God, he felt no pain when he was up on that. No, he was here in the flesh and he felt the pain. Jesus knew as he was growing up and maturing, he knew that he had a date. There would be a time when he would be hung on that cross. And he was doing it for whom? He was doing it for you, and he was doing it for me. He loved his Father. He was obedient to his Father, and he loved us so much that he was willing to go to the cross in obedience so that each and every one of us could have our sins washed away by his blood, forgiven, and that we could be with God. That's the love of Jesus. We can never stand before God or Jesus and say, you just don't know what it was to go through this. I don't know if anybody would even do that, but I'm just saying, don't argue with God about it. He's been through it all. And we can go through it all. And I know right now that so many of you right here, probably even in this congregation, even myself, our families, we've been down that road. We've been down that road where our hearts were breaking or there was pain and all these other things that could come our way. But if we had the spirit of joy deep down in our hearts, that's the purpose of that joy also, to be able to bring us through those trying times and to totally and completely trust in God. Trust in God. Trust in God. Earlier, I was talking about our destiny. Joy and destiny. Joy has been taking us through the journey of life. The presence of God has been taking us through the journey of life. It started the moment that we became born-again Christians, believers, washed in the blood, forgiven, new names written down in heaven. But, see, those days, those weeks, months, and years, we've been walking away from them year by year, the journey of life. With all those circumstances, and there are those of you this morning I know are going through some hard physical times. And you may be going through some other type of a circumstance or a situation that's very hard to bear. But here is the joy of knowing God and the joy. Because as I said, as we go through them, as God helps us to walk through life, and he takes us through these moments, we're walking away. They're fading away. They're fading away. And as they're fading away, our yesterdays are gone. We live to today, but our tomorrows are still ahead of us. And as we're getting further away from that which is behind us, we're getting closer and closer and closer to our eternal destiny. Amen. Now, I tell you what, whenever I think about that, joy hits me real hard. I'm not a spring chicken. Some of the rest of you aren't spring chickens. But listen, it makes no difference what your age is. Whether you've got many years behind you walking through those circumstances and God bringing you through, getting further and further and further and leaving it all behind, getting closer and getting closer. Amen. God's there for that purpose. I just want to say this. There's a new name written down in heaven, and it's mine. That was written down a good number of decades ago when my name was written down in heaven. And I don't know when your name was written down in heaven, but there's a new name down in heaven, and it's yours. When the roll is called up yonder, I'm going to be there because my new name is written down in heaven. I'm going to be there. Are you going to be there? Amen. Joy of the Lord, knowing our destiny. We're homeward bound. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'm going to fly away. I don't think I'm going to be flying this way. I think I'm out of here, my friend. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'm going to fly away. Oh, there's going to be a camp meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by. And I'm telling you, because of God and the joy in my heart, I'm looking forward to my destiny. I'm going to be at that camp meeting. What a day of rejoicing that's going to be. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord, you know, this world is not my home. And God said, yes, I do know that. He's got a place prepared for me. He's got a place prepared for you. You know, down here, we live in concrete, steel, and everything else. But up there, whoo, I don't know. It's just going to be glorious. I tell you what, our new home is going to be marvelous and wonderful. It's going to be spectacular. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. Yes, it is. We have in the book of Revelation and others, you find descriptions and, whoa, streets of gold. And I mean, it's just gates of pearl, and you can't fathom. We can't fathom, no matter how much we try to study it, put it all together. We can't see it. But that's our destiny. That's where we're heading. And we're heading there because of the joy of God down in our hearts that keeps us and keeps us in that path. Walking along, trusting in Him, we have the joy knowing, is this all I get here on earth? No, no, no. I'm heaven bound. There's coming a day when the blind will see, and the first person they'll ever see will be the face of Jesus. There's coming a day when the deaf will hear. They never heard anyone else's voices here on earth. Oh, but when those ears in their glorified body, the first thing they're going to hear is the beautiful congregation of angels and whatever else, whoever else, singing the glory to God, watching the praise and listening to the praise and worship. There's going to be those who cannot speak, the dumb, never able to say a word while they were here on the face of this earth. They could utter things, but they could never truly speak. But when they hit that pearly gate, my friend, they're going to be singing out loud. And they're going to be, whoa. There's going to come in a day when the lame is going to have no more need for canes, walkers, wheelchairs. When they break into heaven, all that will be behind them. They will be rejoicing. And God will say, why don't you run back and forth on the streets of gold a little while and check this out? Amen? I tell you what, and so just put it all together. In life, what we must go through. But there's joy in life. deep abiding joy with God. And if you do not have that deep abiding joy of God deep down inside of you, you're going to be a miserable person. That's all there is to it. Because you're only trusting on what the outside can do for you. That external thing, but this is internal. Oh, so we should be looking forward to going to our eternal destiny. Goodbye, world. Hello, heaven. Goodbye, world. Hello, heaven. I'm getting closer, further away and closer to my eternity. Amen. That's the joy of the Lord. I tell you what, the joy of the Lord has been in this house this morning. Like I said, what more could I say after listening to these songs? And all the voices raising up in joy and praise to Almighty God. What more could I add? What more could I say? I trust. I might have shared something with you that will inspire you to. Well, this is the inspiration. But just live in the joy of the Lord. He is awesome indeed. Amen? He is awesome indeed. Amen. And one thing I left out as I was going through there, and we all know this. This is one of my favorite verses. There'll be no more death, sorrow, tears, sickness. Basically what I was talking about. But see, that is a promise of God. Let it spring up within you. Be joyful that you know your final destiny. Everything on this earth is gone. You will remember it no more because you're in eternity with Almighty God, rejoicing and being glad and full of joy forever and ever and ever. Father, we give you the praise and the glory. We're thankful, Father, for this day. Thank you, Father, for loving on us and dogging on us. And Father, I want to thank you, God, for the joy that you have given us. God, may it be ever so real to each and every one of us. A simple Sunday school song, as I say, as I call it, I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart, where down in my heart to stay. May it be, God. Father, I know that we've all been through trying times. And Father, there's more trying times to come. But God, let us be able to stand upon your word and find joy in knowing that you are our strength in that time when we want to be so weak, when we feel we can't walk that path that we're going down. We're not going to be able to get through it. Help us, God, to remember you are our strength. You are there to bring us through. God, bless my brothers and sisters. And Father, may this Christmas season, and yes, Jesus, you are the reason for our season. May my brothers and sisters just rejoice and be glad because they have been bought with a great price, your blood, Jesus. Thank you for being obedient. Thank you for going to the cross. God, thank you for that wonderful resurrection. And Father, we just want to give you the praise and the glory. God bless us this day. We just want to thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.